One day, four little children were down on the lakeshore playing. They were having a wonderful time playing in the water, paddling around. And as the sun got higher and higher in the sky, it got hotter and hotter. And at last one of them said to the others, "Let us take the canoe way out into the water, and there we can jump out of the canoe into the colder water, because this water is getting a little warm here on the shore." "Yes, yes, let's go out in the canoe." And so the four children, a sister and her three little brothers, they got into that canoe and they paddled it out and they had the most wonderful time out there. They had such a wonderful time that they didn't even notice that the sun had gone behind a big black cloud. And this cloud was getting bigger and bigger and bigger as it spread over the lake. And this was such a big lake that you couldn't even see the other side of it, the other shore. And so they just played and played, and the waves started getting bigger and bigger. The wind started blowing stronger and stronger, and they still didn't even notice. And at last the girl looked around and told her brothers, "My brothers, look, a storm is coming. The wind's getting big. The waves are getting big. Quick, let's paddle this canoe back to the shore." And they started to paddle, but it was too late. The wind was blowing from the shore, and the waves were pushing that canoe. And even as they paddled and paddled until their arms were sore, the canoe went further and further and further out into the lake. Pretty soon, the wind had blown that canoe so far that they couldn't even see the shore where their camp was. And they looked in every direction to see where there was some land, hoping that they could get that canoe to some land. But there was no sign of land anywhere. And all the rest of that day, the wind blew. And all that night, the wind blew. And early the next morning, the wind finally stopped blowing. And the children looked around, and they could see land way in the distance. The only problem was the land was the opposite direction from their camp. That wind had blown so hard that it had blown them to the other shore. "Well, anyway," the sister told her brothers, "we're hungry, and we can't paddle this canoe all across that lake until we have something to eat, and the shore is only over there. Let's paddle to that shore and find some berries or something to eat. Then when we're full, then we'll paddle this canoe back home, because our parents must be worried about us." So they took their canoe to the shore and pulled it up onto the sandy beach, and they started looking around for some berries or roots or anything that they could dig and gather to eat. All of a sudden, one of the little boys started calling, "Sister, sister, come look." And they came, all of them came and looked, and there was the strangest track they had ever seen. Big, round sort of paw track. And they could see where there were claws on the ends of the paws. It kind of looked like a giant wolf track, but no one had ever heard of a wolf that big. "I wonder who made this track. Let's go follow it and see where it goes." The sister tried to talk her little brothers out of following that wolf track, but they were so excited they wanted to see this big wolf. "But my little brothers," she said, "such a big wolf might hurt us. And besides, our parents are going to be worried." But her brothers were younger and smaller and didn't think about things so much. "No, sister, please, let us go follow the wolf track." "All right, but only for a little ways." So they followed that wolf track, and it led from the shore on into the woods. And they followed it through a pathway, and all of a sudden, the pathway ended. And in front of them was a big clearing in the woods. And standing in the middle of the clearing was a beautiful big teepee with beautiful pictures painted on it. "Well, it looks like that wolf lives in that big teepee. I never heard of a wolf living in a teepee. Well, let's go see." And so the children quietly crept up to the teepee and they picked up the bottom of the door flap and peeked under. And sitting inside was an old man and an old woman. And there was a fire crackling in the middle. And there was a pot of food bubbling on the fire. and there was a big fur rug spread out on the side of the teepee. "Little brothers, look, we've found people. They'll take care of us and feed us and help us go back to our family." And so the children came into the teepee. The old man and the old woman smiled when they saw them. "Look, look, some grandchildren have come to stay with us. Where have you come from, little ones?" "Oh, we were playing on the lake in a canoe, and a big wind came up, and it blew and blew and blew and blew us right across the lake. And we saw the tracks of a big animal, and we followed it, and it led to this teepee." "Oh, that was our dog's tracks you saw." Well, the children didn't know what they meant because they had never heard of a dog. No one had ever heard of a dog before, except this old man and old woman, because they had the only dog that existed in the whole world. "Come in, little ones," the old ones told them. "Come in and sit down and eat." "Oh, yes, yes, we're very hungry." And so the children came in, and they were going to sit on a nice fur rug. "No, no, don't sit there. You're going to sit on our dog and wake him up." The children looked, and to their amazement, what they thought was a big fur rug was a great big animal curled up with his nose stuck under his tail. "Why, he looks just like a big giant wolf," the children said. "Yes, he looks like one, but he is different. He is called Dog." So the children sat down, and the old man and the old woman gave them each a bowl of stew, and they sat and ate that nice stew that was bubbling in that pot. And even as hungry as they were, they ate very slowly, because they'd put spoon up to their mouth, and then they'd sit there, sucking on it and staring at that dog, because they'd never seen such an amazing animal. Pretty soon the dog woke up and looked around, and now the children were even more fascinated because they could see every detail about him. And so they sat there and slowly ate their stew and stared at the dog. When they were finished, they were very, very tired. And the old man and old woman told them, "You curl up and go to sleep here. You need a good rest after the adventure you've had. In the morning, we'll see about getting you back to your people." And so they curled up and went to sleep. When they woke up the next morning, the old man and the old woman were gone, and the dog was sitting there. "I wonder where the old people who live here went," said the girl to her brothers. And to their amazement, the dog answered, "Oh, they said they were going out for a while and that I was supposed to watch you and take care of you. Here, there's food in the fire. You take it and eat it." And so they looked in the fire, and sure enough, there were some Indian cornbreads cooking in the ashes. And they took a stick and pulled them out and brushed the ashes off, ate those ash cakes. Oh, they tasted so good. They were kind of bored because all day long the old man and old woman didn't come back. And the dog sat in the doorway and didn't let them out. He told them, "No, they said that I'm supposed to guard you and not let you out because you might get lost out there." And so they started visiting with the dog and playing with him. And at first the littlest one, who was braver than the others because he was so small, crawled right up and started pulling the dog's tail. And the dog didn't seem to mind that at all. So pretty soon he crawled up on the dog's back. And the dog seemed to think that was fun. And he started tickling the dog's ears. And oh, the dog liked that and wiggled his ears all over. Well, that encouraged the others, and pretty soon all four of the children were playing with the dog and having a good time. It was nighttime by the time the old man and old woman came back. "Well, little children," they said, "we went looking, and it seems like it's a long, long ways to your camp. I think you're going to have to sleep here again tonight. Maybe tomorrow we can find a way of getting there." "Well, why don't we just take the canoe and go and paddle it back," said the girl. "Well, it seems that somebody came in the night and bashed a hole in the bottom of it. There's a big hole in it. So we can't do that. We're going to have to walk to your camp, and I think it's going to be a long, long ways." So they ate again and fell asleep. And next morning when they woke up, there was just the dog there again. And the old man and old woman were gone. But they didn't think much about it. They thought, oh, the old man and old woman, they're out looking for a way to get us home. But that doesn't matter. We've got the dog here to play with. And so they had a wonderful time, and they got their breakfast out, and they broke it in half, and each of them gave half of their breakfast to the dog, and half for themselves. And oh, the dog licked his lips, and he liked this. He'd never had anyone give him their human's food before. Always before, the old man and old woman, they would just throw a few leftover bones to him and say, here, dog, you chew on those. And then they played with the dog, and after a while, he fell asleep in the doorway, and they fell asleep with their heads on his legs. And it was only late in the evening when they woke up, because they could hear the footsteps of the old man and old woman coming home. Well, the old man and old woman told them, it's a long, long ways to your camp. We looked and looked, and we couldn't find the road. Tomorrow we'll go look the other direction. But here, you eat lots of food and stay healthy, and then you go to sleep. And so the children ate and went to sleep. And the next morning when they woke up, the dog was the only one there again. And all day they played and played with that dog and fed him and just had the most wonderful time. By the time the day was over, the dog was lying on his back with his feet in the air, and they were rubbing his stomach, and he was kicking his legs as if he was running, and they were all giggling and laughing and having such a wonderful time, they almost forgot that they were away from their family. That night when the old man and old woman came home and told them that they still hadn't been able to find a road home, they didn't even mind, because after all, they were having such a wonderful time with the dog. The next morning when they woke up, the old man and old woman were gone, and there was just the dog and the four children. The dog looked very sad. He sort of hung his head and laid his ears back atop of his head, and they tickled him and rubbed him and played with him, but nothing seemed to make him happy. And at last he told them, children, sit here. I have to talk to you. They sat down and they asked him, why are you so sad looking? Oh, I said, I have some very bad news to tell you. This old man and old woman where you are camped, they are not what they seem to be. They're weendigos, cannibal monsters. The reason they're feeding you so much good food is they're getting you nice and fat because tonight they want to cook you and eat you. And they told me to guard you and not let you out the door because you might run away and then they would lose their supper. That's why I've been guarding the door. But you've been so nice to me and you've had such a good time with me and I've had such a good time with you that I can't let them eat you. I have to warn you. They will beat me and kick me. They do that all the time when you're not here. They pound on me and kick me, and they just throw bones to me. And you've been so nice to me, I want to help you. Oh, the children were so afraid when they heard that. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, let's run away, said the dog. Let's run away from here as fast as we can run. And maybe I can use my nose to sniff a pathway, and we can find how to really get home to your people. The only problem is, those weendigos have magic powers. They can run very, very fast. And with your little legs, I don't think that you can run that fast. So what you have to do is all of you climb up on my back, and I will carry you. And so they went outside and they climbed up on that back of that dog. Now, it was a very difficult thing to get on his back, even when he laid down, because remember, this dog was a big, giant dog, as big as horses are today. And so as soon as they were up on the back and had their hands in the fur, away went that dog, galloping along, running as fast as he could. He ran all that day. And they were long, long ways from the camp. And so at last he stopped and told them, I'm getting a little bit tired. So you get off my back now and walk beside me. Can't we stop and sleep? It's getting late. I know, but it's about the time for the weendigos to come back to their teepee. If they come back and find us gone, they're going to start running after us. and they can run very fast. So we have to keep going. And so they walked and walked and walked. And every once in a while, that dog would stop, and he'd turn back, and he'd look down the path, and he'd put his ears up, and he'd listen, and he'd tell them, "It's all right. I don't hear them yet." But then one time when he stopped and did it, he told them, "Quick, get on my back again. I can hear the Wendigos coming." And they jumped onto the back of that dog, and away he ran. But as fast as that giant dog could run, the Wendigos could run faster. And pretty soon they were looking back as they were flying along through the air on the back of that dog, and they could see the Wendigos running and throwing great trees after them. They would rip a tree up by its roots and throw it, and they were getting so close that the trees were almost hitting them. When they came to a great big bay in the lake, it stretched for miles and miles and miles. You couldn't even see the other side. And you couldn't see how far the bay stretched into the land. "Oh, what are we going to do?" said the little girl to her brothers. "Look at all that water, and we can't turn back because the Wendigos are almost on us." "That's all right. I have 4 magic powers," said the dog. "I'm going to make my legs grow very, very long. They're going to be so long I can wade right across this bay. And those Wendigos will have to walk around it. And so it'll take them a long, long time." And to their amazement, the dog started getting taller and taller and taller until they were sitting on his back higher than the tops of the trees. And he just went walking right out into that lake. And no matter how deep that lake was, he could make his legs get longer and longer so that they touched the bottom of the lake. And so he walked right through the water and carried them to the other side. Oh, those Wendigos. Those cannibals were very angry because they had to run all the way around and they lost a lot of time. And by the time they got around the bay, the children were a lot further than they had thought they would be, and they had to run and run and run to catch up to them. But pretty soon that dog told them, "I hear the Wendigos. They're getting closer. Get on my back again." And so the children scrambled up on the back of the dog and away they went. And pretty soon they came to the edge of a swamp, and the fog was so thick you couldn't see anything. "Oh, how are we going to get through this fog?" they said. "That's all right. I still have 3 magic powers. I can make my eyes shine like torches, and I will be able to see through this fog." And so they hung on tightly to the fur of the dog, and his eyes just started shining, until they were like beams, like flashlights shining through the fog. And so he walked carefully through the fog, picking his way across that swamp. The Wendigos were real angry when they got to the shores of that swamp because they couldn't see through the fog, and they had to run all the way around the swamp. And so again, the dog and the children got a long ways ahead. And they're walking along. The children are walking, and the dog is walking. When once more he tells them, "Children, quick, get up on my back. I hear the Wendigos again." And they started running and running and running, riding on the back of that dog. But they could hear the shouts of the Wendigos as they got closer and closer. And as they ran, they came to a place where there was nothing but rock as far as they could see, sharp-edged flint rocks sticking up. "Oh, what are we going to do?" said the children. "Those rocks are sharp." "That's all right. I have 2 magic powers left. I will make big pads on the bottom of my feet, and I will run across the top of these sharp rocks, and they won't be able to cut me because they will only be cutting away a little bit of the pads I have on my feet, and the Wendigos will have to go around." And so they ran and ran that way, the children riding and the dog running. And it was a long, long run. And at last they came to the end of the sharp rocks. And it was a good thing they did, because there had been so many sharp rocks that it had cut away all the pads off the bottom of the dog's feet. And he just had one thin little layer of pad left. But they were safe. And he told the children, "Now you can get down off my back and walk so I can rest a little. The Wendigos have a long, long run to get around those sharp rocks, and so we have some time. So the dog and the children walked along, and as they walked, they listened, and sure enough, they could hear the Wendigos again, getting closer and closer and closer, until at last the dog told them, "All right, little ones, get on my back again. We're going to have to try to run and escape from these Wendigos one more time. I hope we can do it. I'm getting very, very tired. Running so far and carrying you on my back so much has tired me out. I don't know how much energy I have." So they climbed up on the dog's back and away he went. But they could see that he was running more slowly than before. He was getting more and more tired. His tongue was starting to hang out and he was panting as he ran. And they could hear the Wendigos getting closer and closer and closer. And all of a sudden, the dog stopped. And the children looked. They were standing on a cliffside. And the cliffside was very, very steep and high. And down in the valley below them was a forest fire burning. And it was a long ways to the other cliffside. The children started crying and crying. "Oh, now the Wendigos are going to catch us." "It's all right, children," he said. "I have one magic gift left. I'm going to use it now. Hang on real tight." And he turned around and, to the surprise of the children, started running toward the Wendigos. But then he only ran a little ways. He stopped. He turned around and he ran at that cliffside as hard as he could. And when he got to the edge of the cliff, he took a big jump. And the children just hung on to his fur because they were flying through the sky on the back of the dog. The dog jumped so far that he landed on the other side. Thump, like that. He was very tired now. "All right, children," he said. "You can get off my back. I don't think the Wendigos can get past this cliff. But if they do, we're in trouble, because that was the last of my magic, and I am very, very tired, and I can't run anymore." They stood and watched as the Wendigos came running up to the edge of the cliff to see if the Wendigos could get across, because they knew they were too tired to run away anymore. But what had happened was that forest fire was burning so hard down at the bottom of the valley that the smoke was starting to come up. And the Wendigos couldn't see that it was a cliffside because the smoke was in the way. And they just kept right on running. They ran right over the edge of the cliff. And you could hear them, "Ah!" And then you could hear a big boom as those Wendigos hit the bottom of the cliff and broke into pieces, because Wendigos are actually made of stone. They only pretend to be people. They really are stone monsters. And so when they hit the bottom, they broke up into lots of little pebbles and were no more danger to the children. They were so happy to see that they were safe. They turned around and told the dog, "It's all right, dog. You don't have to have any more magic powers. The Wendigos will never catch us now." And they were so happy they sang as they walked along beside their dog. They walked slower and slower and slower because the poor dog was getting so tired. And after a while he told them, "Children, I'm so tired I don't think I can make it any further. I'm going to lie down here and die. You go ahead and go back to your village." "No, no, please don't die. We'll stay with you. We don't want to go back without you." And as he laid down, the four children sat beside him and hugged him and petted him, tickled his ears, and rubbed his belly. And pretty soon he started feeling better. And at last he was able to get up and he told them, "All right, I think I can make it now." And so they walked and they walked and they walked, and all of a sudden they came to the end of the woods. And there, sitting on the lakeshore, was their village. They were so happy, they started shouting, "Grandma, Grandpa, Mommy, Daddy, look, we're back!" The people came running. They were so surprised because they knew the children had been blown away across the lake in the big storm, and they were sure those children had drowned. And they were very surprised to see them coming out of the woods instead. But they were even more surprised to see them coming out with this great, big, furry animal. "Where did you find that strange animal?" "Oh, that's not a strange animal. That's a puppy dog," they said. "He's our dog. He wants to live with us. He saved our lives." "Oh, well, that's good. If he saved your lives, he can come and live with us." And so they took that dog back to their tent, and he curled up and fell asleep by the fire. And he was so tired from all the work he did that he slept for 7 days and seven nights. And as he slept, he got smaller and smaller and smaller because he had lost all his magic. And at last he was just the size dogs are today. And when he woke up, he was sad because he told them, "Now I'm not a magic animal anymore." "That's all right," the children told him. "We love you like you are." And so even today, no matter what anyone else thinks, little children always know that their dog is magic.